Had to get myself comfy. This is like right up in between my legs. Thanks, Joey.
Hey, that's for teaching me what camel toe was when I didn't want to know. I don't know how I missed that, though. Why didn't I know what that was? Because she like said, I think Rose has camel toe. I was like, the hell is that? Something. I mean, I don't think you would have just brought camel toe up for no reason. It had to have been something you observed.
Yeah, I got to know that real early because of volleyball. Volleyball shorts. So when I started playing volleyball, everyone talked about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny.
Are you recording that?
Yeah. Oh, it's all recorded.
I like demanded, pleaded, called God on promises and was like, you have to show up or like I am done. And he did. And he did.
That's something to really think about. What does it mean that the God of the universe loves me?
Are we saying that our God is bigger than their God or what?
Man, you got my mind going crazy right now.
I just think that that is evangelical bullshit.
And I don't fit in their box anymore. So feeling rejected from the church makes me feel far away from God.
If I'm living out the love of God, love of the divine, then in some ways we're unoffendable.
It's wrong to marginalize anybody for any reason.
Sometimes we can just have some things about our perspective that's off until we encounter someone who can challenge our thoughts, have conversations with us, and we just continue to grow and evolve.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I like that.
That sounded like womp, 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 womp to Rob.
I'm a hardcore gospel lover. I do love the gospel. I just think we get it wrong.
Girl, I was so highly medicated, I don't even know if you know. Oh, God, my people.
All right, just a quick note. Back in episode 308, I talked to my friends Ellen Morrow and Chip Judd about the Billy Graham Rule. It was actually a reboot of an even older episode. Billy Graham Rule is terminology. It's basically a lifestyle many men refer to as not traveling or eating out alone with other women in order to safeguard a marriage. And it was one of those conversations that had me saying, yes, I agree with Chip that it's necessary for many to practice this. And yes, I agree with Ellen that this is also unfair in many cases and needs to be thought about way more thoroughly, especially more thoroughly than I have over years, long time ago. Well, I've had many wonderful coworkers. Two of them joined me today as a part of their many responsibilities. They assisted me personally, and thus we spent a lot of work hours together, sometimes just us two at the office. Well, I happen to be very close friends with these two ladies as well, so I saw this conversation as an opportunity to look at the Billy Graham Rule from a more personal vantage point, as the three of us have a great deal of comfort with one another and have no problem navigating some areas that maybe you wouldn't necessarily do so with someone you don't know as well. Even though I think I see things most similarly to Sarah, Liz, who you're becoming more and more familiar with on this podcast, being the odd one out, we all agree on a lot, including there's a lot more thinking needing to be done on this one and changes needed to be made. And hey, here's a quick pastoral note. Take one day at a time. You're only responsible for today. And at some point this evening, stop working. Just enjoy the rest of the day and don't take responsibility for anything. If you can, you know, chill. Also, we have a gathering this Thursday night. We are opening to all, not just patrons, all of you listeners. It's a continuation of last week's episode about me hurting my friend Stoy with a Rachel joke. Him and I and a few others are hanging with some patrons. Just click the link and get the details. Hopefully some of you will be able to join us. We'd love to take some questions and hash it out even more. I know I already have some follow-up thoughts. All right, but for right now, it's me, Liz, and Sarah Eller. We are here amongst friends, and I thought it would be really fun to talk Billy Graham Rule with not only friends, but with two people that I work closely with who are females. I'm pretty sure I have talked a little bit about Liz and I and how we get to know you and how you came on staff and everything, but I think you know this, Sarah. When we were down to two candidates as far as you interviewing for the job, did I tell you, like, when it came down to two, I almost felt like I know who the other candidate was and I love her to death. I almost felt bad because this day, I think it was God. Like, once it went down to two, it felt like God was like, and that's the one. And I was like, oh my gosh, now what do I do? Because did I ever tell you that?
Yes, you have told me that. Because yeah. The last interview, you weren't sure if you wanted to do that because you knew who. Right. Was going to get hired.
Right.
You were meant to be.
There you go. And y'all work together
for what, like a year, you think? Year, two?
A year.
And you guys both worked with Toby and Jason, or did you not work with Jason?
I worked with both.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
both.
We had a huge staff mm-hmm. at one point.
We had so much fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never felt like I was going to work.
Right.
But I felt like we needed to have our own YouTube show because we were quite entertaining.
We are. So what, if someone asks, what is the Billy Graham rule, what would y'all say?
That a male and a female cannot be alone together.
You're talking like it's a test and you're in middle school. Sarah's like, me.
I don't want to be in the mic. That a male and a female cannot be alone together anywhere.
Anywhere.
In the car, at a restaurant, in the office, anywhere.
So you and I broke Billy Graham rule.
Yes.
Is that your understanding of Billy Graham rule also?
Yeah, I think I focused more on the car part, but I feel like, yeah, it would bleed into the other areas.
Yeah.
More so the car, though. I think because in the office, more people are likely to come in, whereas people aren't going to, like, enter a car.
When you remember, like, he couldn't take us out to lunch
because
it was a male female, but mm-hmm. he could take other male staff out to lunch.
But he could take all three of us.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Like if the three of us wanted to go have lunch, we could do that.
Yeah. Totally fine.
Yeah. How do y'all feel about that?
I agree with it.
Yeah.
Honestly. I kind of even put that in my own personal life.
Yeah.
Being married just as a protection, not that anything would happen on my part or anybody else's part, but you have it as a standard, one, out of respect for, in my case, marriage, my spouse, but in that case, respect for the other person that you're working with, just to put up that boundary right at the beginning where there's no questions asked, nothing's going to happen. Because people, I think too, people have different perceptions of things. So I could say, hey, Joey, let's go out to lunch and it'd be totally fine. And then not you, but in that case, the male figure would be like, oh, well, she might be into me.
I think that's a huge factor. Yep.
Yeah. And so, and men and women, I think differently. And so in that case, you're just setting yourself up for maybe somebody else catching feelings or taking it to a level that you never intended. Yeah. So it's just putting that protection on
yourself. It makes you feel safe.
Yeah. And your respect for yourself and the other person right from the beginning.
Yeah. So I am kind of stuck in the middle. I used to be full on Billy Graham. And ironically, it was someone on staff, Jennifer, who kind of opened my eyes to, oh my gosh, I never even thought about that. Because she was, you know, both of y'all were more admin working behind the scenes. She's someone who aspired to, you know, lead ministry, be a pastor and all that kind of stuff. And so the other guys that were on staff and in that same position, I mean, we could go out anytime we want. We can go on a camping trip if we want. And I never in a million years, it never occurred to me that she felt like left out.
Yeah.
Never occurred to me. And then I totally understood. I was like, oh my gosh, I did not even think about that. So that's when I started to question the fairness for mostly in the church world for the woman. But I cannot get away from some of the stuff that you just said, Sarah, that we'll dive into more. I think that, I won't go any further. Liz, what do you think?
Well, I was also going to say, how do you measure it too? So for you, if you were to say, Joey and I are going to write up to CVS, it wouldn't be a big deal. But how do you make it fair if Michael was to say, hey, to another female, let's write up to CVS. Well, what if you're more insecure about that female? You know, so like, how do you measure it? It's like you have to kind of, if you're in a relationship, just figure that out for yourselves, like what works best for you guys, because what might feel totally innocent between you and somebody might feel very threatening to you when Michael's making that choice.
Oh, right. Or even if someone
and I understand
them.
That.
If someone sees them out and then a rumor spreads.
And maybe if you guys had a fight that day, then it's like, I mean, I understand all of that. And I get all of that. I also feel like there's good intention there. But now I can also see Jennifer's outlook on it. And also now thinking back, well, let me say this first. I think if you're going to do something that is going to make you unfaithful, riding in a car is not going to be the reason that it happens. It's going to be something that I think happens over time. And it's not just this one ride in a car that you're going to take that one chance. That's something that you're probably creating feelings even in a room full of people. I think back on the church that I used to go to, the lead worship leader and her husband was she was the singer, he was the drummer, and then the worship director, all three of them, she was having an affair with the worship director, and her husband's on the same team. He's like playing the drums, she's singing, and they were all together all the time.
While they're having an affair?
I mean, they all worked on staff together. Dang. And so I'm sure they did the same Billy Graham rule because it's the same type of church as Seacoast. And it didn't work for them. So that's my point, is like, it doesn't necessarily stop people. Like, it didn't work for them, clearly. But I also think to myself, well, what about me now? Are you going to be like, would Michael be afraid for you and I to be in the car together, considering I'm married to a woman?
You can't hang out with anybody by yourself.
Right. I am on the roof of the car, like the tree on Christmas vacation. So, I mean, like, we know that Michael would be fine with that. But if you don't know me, would a random husband feel uncomfortable? Like, how do you Billy Graham me?
Yeah. And I
knowing that I like both. It's not even just like a, oh, well, she can't be in the car with girls. Well, she also can't be, and I have to drive it myself now.
I think.
Yeah, Alex is the only person.
Yeah.
And your parents, maybe, and your kids.
I don't know how this is going to come across, but I really believe it's just the difference in a male and a female.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think that you and I, or me and anyone else that I don't even know if they like girls, you know, like if we got in a car together, it's not really the same in my mind as being in a car with a male. And even just, you know, before I was married and all that, it's just different because the vibe is just different. You bond differently with men and women, or you bond differently with a woman than I would a man. And I think with a female and a male, the female catches the feelings probably more than the man does earlier on, because it's like the emotional and, oh, he's caring for me, even if it's a ride to CVS. Like, I have no intentions of being attracted to this person, but, oh, he said something and is caring for me in this way. And now I kind of do. So now I want to go in the car with him again.
Okay. So I get that. But I have a friend who like worked with me at Christ Kids Academy, and she is married to a man. They have five kids and they were deployed, her husband and this other girl's husband, and they were best friends. Same thing, like that vibe where it's like very, very close, different kind of a relationship, but then it turned. And so when does it turn? For you, it'll never turn. But for that girl, it turned, and they never had been with women before, and they literally fell in love, and now they are together, and they have divorced their husbands. So I get what you're saying, and I agree that for some people, it feels different being, you know, a female being in a car with a male. You feel differently than you would another female. I don't, like, disagree with that. I feel the same, you know, either way, but I understand the people that don't. But at the same time, you have two females that are hanging out together all the time, and then something flips for them. And so should they have not been in the car together by themselves? I mean, you don't even know. Like, you don't know when you're going to fall in love with someone. You don't know when you're going to, like, catch those feelings, even if you've been friends. I mean, think about how many people that say, we were friends, we never were attracted to each other, and then they got married. It happened with those two girls.
Yep. For me, it almost feels like the crux of the conversation, and that is what you said, Sarah. Like, we could know in our hearts there is nothing and there never is going to be, but you have no idea where that other person is. I mean, and there's no way you could know. I mean, even if that person were just like, oh, we're just friends, we're buddies, they could be lying.
Yeah.
And deep down inside, you know, have certain feelings, and obviously emotional affairs are tough.
Or they're lying to themselves. Maybe they really do think they're fine.
Yeah. So would you say dismiss it all? Don't make it like a universal deal, case by case?
Yeah. And I don't know that that's as easy as it sounds like, but I feel like it would be difficult for me to, I mean, I couldn't be in a job where they would say that I couldn't do that. I have males that I work with and females that I work with, and that would just make me feel like you're constantly sexualizing everything, as if every time people get in like a space together, are you always thinking that they're wanting each other? Like, no.
Yeah.
But I think if you add, okay, always have three people, like I said at the beginning, like it's more of a protection than, or I see it more of like a protection for those three people than even a rule. It's like,
but it's like a babysitter.
Well, I'm like with my young kids, I tell them all the time, I'm like, I told you this rule, or I gave you this rule for your protection. It's for your good. And like, if you just abide by it, like the other side is going to be so much better. You're not going to be getting yelled at. You're not going to get in trouble. Like it's for your protection. And so when I think of that rule, I kind of think of it as that, not assuming something's going to happen, not putting that on anybody, but again, case by case scenario. But for a workplace, church, schools, whatever, I think if you have that in place, it helps the majority. You're always going to have a case by case thing or people that go around it, the rule, and do what they want anyway. But I don't know. I kind of see of it more of a protection for yourself, for your own personal feelings, as well as if you're in a relationship, your spouse.
Yeah.
And you should know, but also you should know yourself well enough if you're the type of person that is likely to be attracted to lots of people, even if you're married to this one person, but you are attracted to lots of people, you should be able to regulate yourself and say, that's not a good choice for me, but not make it a rule for everybody. I mean, you know, if you're that person.
I never even thought about that. So there's some people that are attracted to a lot of different people.
But still madly in love with their spouses, but they're just, or they're flirtatious, but not in a way that they actually want to be with that person, but their personality is kind of flirtatious. Like, let's say that was me, then I would know, hey, Alex might not like it if I am like riding in the car with these girls because I tend to be a little bit too, you know, flirtatious, and it might make her uncomfortable. If that's a situation with us, then I would totally respect what she says. But I should also know myself well enough that like, hey, Liz, that's probably not going to be the best idea. Or have you ever like thought about that person in any way other than your friendship, which happens to everybody? You shouldn't probably be in the car with them by themselves.
Yeah.
By yourself or in a room or anything like that.
Yeah. I will talk to couples who are getting married, and a huge factor in all of this, I think, is, so we're all friends, we'll just use one another as examples. So let's just say Priscilla and I are going through a really tough time, and it's not even fun to be home, you know, just like a really tough time, and then go to work, and it's like, you guys aren't bringing your F game, you're bringing your A game, because it's your work, you know, and you want to do a good job, you want to get along with people and everything. And so I tell couples, you have to be really careful the sort of time that you spend with people, you know, typically of the opposite sex, because of that. Like with marriage, you're taking the good, the bad, and the ugly. In the workplace, not necessarily. And I think that's...
You just see the pretty.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why, would you... I'm super curious. Would you be cautious, Liz, a male at your school confiding in you? Let's say y'all are buddies, mm-hmm. and he's confiding in you about marital problems.
I can think of one right now that if he was to say like, hey, we're having, you know, this, this, and this, I would think of it as just any other friend. And then I would try to figure out like, you know, what's her side? Like try and figure out. There's two sides to every story. I wouldn't think anything of it like, this could be my chance, or, oh, he doesn't like her. Maybe he likes me.
I'm saying opening the door for him to maybe connect with you.
I mean, what's the difference between me and the other dude down the hall?
If he's gay?
No, I mean, like, whether he's straight or gay, it's like, I think at some point you also have to know, am I divulging too much information in general to anybody other than my spouse? Like, they always say, don't tell your parents too much about, like, your arguments with your spouse, because then they can't take that back in their heads. And so you should try and do as much as you can just within, you know, the two of you. But I don't think that if he's coming to me constantly and like, there is a serious issue, then I might say, dude, you're having the same problems over and over and over again. I really think that, I mean, I appreciate you coming and talking to me, but you might want to talk to a therapist. And I would also ask him, does she know that you're talking to me, and does she feel comfortable with it?
Yeah.
No, but that would be whether it's a guy or a girl, but nobody does that to me. Nobody divulges their information. I mean, but at the same time, like, I know I have friends that are females at work, and, you know, they'll say something frustrating about their husbands, and I don't think twice. I'm just like, oh, they had a frustrating day. Like, we all have those.
Right.
I don't think, like, oh, this is a male and there's an intention there. There's a motive. Like, I don't feel like there's all of this motive. Females are just as animalistic as men are. Like, I think that we also forget the fact that sometimes it's the female that's the aggressor, right, and she's the one that's going to be like, I'm going to get in the car with that guy.
Yeah. But even so, with that, I don't think there's ever the motive at the beginning. You know, it's like, I've been told, like, one little decision leads to another, and those decisions add up to the big picture. And so,
But it could be the female starting all of that.
Either way, whoever's going to the other one talking about your marriage.
Right.
And for, if you ask me that question, if a man came up and, or a good friend, I'm thinking, you know, close friends that I have, if the guy came to me and was asking me about stuff, kind of like you, the first time, like, okay, like, let me tell you a woman's perspective and here's how you should go home and talk to your spouse. Or, but then if it keeps happening, or if they're like trying to confide in me and be like, but you're nothing like that, like comparing, then it would get weird and be like, okay,
oh, well, that's not okay.
Yeah. Then it's like, okay, you need to go talk to a man or a therapist.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, let me say this, same scenario, but this guy says, hey, there may be times where I just really need a friend to talk to about this. Are you available? Can I just talk? Can I come by once in a while and just, like, basically opening the door?
That's just weird. Nobody does that, Joey.
I would say when my husband's home, like, sure, come over and Michael will be there too.
There you go. Yeah.
Nobody
does that though. Like, I can't. And I think it also helps not to think in the hypothetical. So I'm trying to literally think of myself in this situation with one of my guy friends at work. And if he was to say, sometimes I need somebody to talk to. I mean, I know there's dudes that he's friends with that are way closer to him, not because they're dudes, but he has tons of really close friends. He's going to talk to them. And if he's talking to me, I'm like, dude, talk to your fucking friends. Like, I'm not the one that you need to, like, have like an appointment or a meeting with, or, hey, can I come talk to you? Or can I call you sometime? That's just weird. I'd be like, dude, you're weird.
Okay. So he doesn't say that, but he just starts doing it. He starts texting you. He's just like, hey, just FYI, my wife and I, it's late, let's say it's 9:05 PM. My wife and I I'm just in a really bad place. I just needed a friend to vent. Don't have to text me back.
I mean, it depends on the friendship that you had beforehand. Sure. So Alex has a friend that has done that. Right. And he was having a hard time with his wife, and he genuinely, like, loved her, and he didn't have many friends, and, or at least I don't think he did. And I mean, she would talk to me about it, but, like, we talked about it too, and I knew what he was going through because Alex would talk to me about it. So maybe that open communication also helped. I wasn't worried about that. But again, I'm not worried about it because I am very, very secure in my relationship. I'm not saying that you're not secure by any means, but I'm super secure in it. And so I'm like, okay, if you're going to talk to them, I mean, because otherwise she couldn't talk to boys or girls. But if she has a previous relationship with somebody where they may have had those types of conversations, then I feel like it's safe. But I feel like we all know when it gets weird, mm-hmm. whether it's a dude or a chick. Like, I'll know, like, all right, you're acting a little bit odd. Like, you need to probably find somebody else to talk to. I would probably just give them the cold shoulder and ghost them and stop listening.
Yeah.
Or if that person was not okay with the third party coming in, then you know that's a red flag.
Right.
Like, okay, no, I don't want your spouse there.
This now sounds like a predator, though. Yeah. This doesn't sound like somebody who is, like, really, and like you said, I know it does start with little small things, but if at that point, if I say, hey, I'm going to bring my friend Sarah with us, is that okay? And they're like, oh, no, no, no. I'm like, that's a weird dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I think, too, my brain is kind of going, like, church world counseling.
Yeah.
Like, especially with a man pastor and a woman coming in, like, if the woman wasn't okay with the third person being around, not in the same room, but, like, being around, then that's a red flag.
Well, maybe even just asking for a third person, regardless of the genders, like, genders out of it and say, hey, I just feel like, also to protect yourself, some of these, like, people in any type of leadership world need to protect themselves. But I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, like, hey, you know, like, maybe including that third person. But I also think we're also just, like, babysitting ourselves, like, put on your fucking big girl panties and act like an adult. And if you're going to cheat on your husband or your wife, you're an asshole. Just divorce them. But I don't see anything wrong with if like you were like, I always would feel more comfortable having a third person there. I don't think anybody would say no to that. Right. Like, oh, cool. Okay.
Right. Let me read these stats just for context. So American Association for Marriage and Family Therapy national surveys indicate that 15% of married women and 25% of married men have had extramarital affairs. The incidence is about 20% higher when emotional and sexual relationships without intercourse are included. So you're right about there's not, I mean, I guess 10% is a big difference, but 15% of women as opposed to 20, I mean, that's just a lot of people.
When it says the number's higher with emotional, I bet it's a lot higher with women.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, when you add in emotional affairs.
We also should like touch on the fact, remember, like my ex, I would have thought nothing for her to be in the car with Michael.
Oh, no.
By themselves. But it's because I know her and you know her. And so that's why I think when you talk in generalizations, it's hard. It's like when you have these hypotheticals, it's like, oh, yeah, that's a safeguard, da 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 da. But when we talk about specifics, like I would think nothing of it if Michael picked me up and drove me to the grocery store.
Or, and same, like I wouldn't be worried about Michael at all. But the other person, not you, but like a random person or like a coworker.
It depends on what kind of I mean, I think a lot of it is case by case, but you can't like, you know.
Yeah.
Billy Graham rule is not a case by case. And so that's why I feel like people just need to like.
Because Sarah said something that I immediately took it in and it made sense. But then I'm also questioning whether or not that that track is a legit track to go down. But I do think that there's a difference, like you said, especially women when it comes to emotional affairs. What I was going to ask is, what does a woman do when she finds herself attracted to someone that she has to be with every single day? I mean, just force the feelings out? I mean, because emotional affairs, it can be one-sided. And it can still be pretty destructive.
Well, I mean, if she's got a good head on her shoulders, which let's also acknowledge the fact that she's not like this horrible human, like, and I shouldn't say everybody, but this stuff happens to people all the time. Like, if that is this person, doesn't mean they're a bad person, but hopefully if they have a good head on their shoulders, they're going to go to therapy and be like, I need you to help me rewire this because I thought we were just friends and now I feel something different and I don't want to feel that way.
Yeah.
Oh. Or talk to somebody about it. I don't know. Because we can't act like all of these people are horrible people that are doing this and they're such assholes and they're, you know, thinking these thoughts about other people and cheating on their husbands. Like these are also just normal people who are, I mean, we know them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so we had part one of this conversation probably 4 or 5 years ago with Ellen and Chip Judd. And Chip said something that definitely was eye-opening. He said that, I mean, because he's counseled tons of couples who have had affairs, and he said the vast majority said, never intended this. Like, that was not the plan.
Yeah. I don't think anybody would plan to do that.
Well, some would. Yeah. Some really? Are like, going on a business trip, I'm going to get some away from my wife for sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's nasty.
Sure. Well, I mean, for sure.
No, those are the jerks.
I guess that's true. I just don't think about those people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that's true.
But yeah, it's the, and that's why Chip is so resolute with this is a good rule because nobody intends for it to happen.
But how do you separate that? How do you separate that? That means you have to regulate yourself on, like for me, I would have to regulate myself getting in the car with a male or a female. And you can't say, I mean, let's say that was me. Oh, I never meant for that to happen.
Yeah, but that's why I keep going back to like, it's just the protection. So like in that sense, like there would be times, which I don't think we ever did get in the car just us two, but there are times we're in the office just us two.
Right.
For some reason, I'm thinking maybe there was an instance where we had to, and we had to like tell somebody, but which seems so extreme and so ridiculous, but at the same time, neither one of us intended anything, right. But it's just that protection.
It's just so isolating, though. I think that's the word I was trying to find. Sorry, I didn't mean it. But then, I feel like it's isolating from so many people.
But those instances are few and far between, like you're saying. So, like, most of the time, you do have a third person or somebody else there to where you don't have to really think about it. It just goes.
Also, why are you constantly in the car with this person? Why are you constantly in a room with this person? Like, you also have to ask yourself that.
Yeah.
I have no reason to be in the, like, we'll drive our cars, drop them off at like the Honda dealership and take each other in to school because it's right there. That's once a year. Like, so then the Billy Graham rule seems stupid to me. But if we did that like every day or every week, it's like, okay, well, there's something going on there, obviously. But I don't think a Billy Graham rule is going to stop, make that better.
Right. I'll tell you what would be weird is, so we all know what all staff is, but just for our listeners, we're in a place called West Ashley right now. And when all the Seacoast employees get together, we call it all staff. It's in Mount Pleasant. So it's about a 30-minute drive. It would be weird if one of y'all lived in this neighborhood and because we're friends and I'm pulling out of the driveway and I see you pulling out of the driveway and we're driving separate cars 30 miles. Now, it wouldn't feel weird if you were like a brand new hire and I didn't know you well, but it would feel weird. Be like, why don't we just ride in the car together?
But what also sucks is as females, like even with what I'm saying, I still get the part, like I've been conditioned to feel like that should be weird. And I don't like that. I've been conditioned to think if Joey is in the same neighborhood as me and we are going to meet Priscilla and Alex somewhere, that that is what I am used to thinking and feeling every time I get in the car. Because it's like not unknown to me. Like I'm aware of those things just because I worked at a church and I remember all those rules. And I remember how they didn't work for so many people. But like I don't like, and I am like, bitter at the fact that that's even a feeling I get sometimes, like, oh, I guess that's not something that should happen. Kind of like the whole, like, oh, don't have sex until you get married. And now you're married and it's hard to have sex with your spouse because you've been like so conditioned to not have sex and it feels bad and all that stuff until you're married. So it's like now when you start getting in the car with a guy, it's like that is a feeling that you might feel like, oh, I'm used to thinking that's wrong. And that sucks to me.
Yeah. No, that's makes me think about how I've been conditioned to.
Yeah. We've been conditioned to think all of these things. Like I remember that time you met me at the pool and you had to like go through this thing. We had all of our kids with us. And
what, I had to go through a checklist or what?
No, but like what? You did, being Joey, you were like, okay, I would meet you at the pool with all the kids, but I won't come in your house.
Did I say all this?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, I won't come in, but like, I think you came to the door, but we were all going to the pool at Mariner's K. I mean, this was like shortly after Joshua died, which I mean, I remember thinking, oh, that's weird because I know that's what I'm supposed to be feeling, but I did not feel weird, but you made me feel, weird.
Yeah, I'm just a rule follower.
And I am too. And I've thought that a lot of times, like I think because of it, I am such a rule follower. I go to the extremes.
Yeah. Right. So we're at the pool and I'm like, we have like all these children with us. There's like six of them.
And so I was all the way on the other side of the pool.
Probably.
Hey, Liz.
My friend, Liz, whose husband just died. I am here for you.
Would y'all have felt uncomfortable if the nature of your job, let's say the church was way smaller and it was pretty much 9 to 5 every single day? And just, you know, visualize the office space and it's just me and you, or it's just me and you. Would that be kind of like an extra level that's like, probably, because I think did you have a couple of days where you worked it from home?
I did.
There were times where you were part-time at some point. There was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then how our office was set up, you had your office. So even when it was just you and I, like, I felt like I was in the room by myself and you were in your office and you would come out and talk every now and then, but it was never like a small office, just us two.
Outside of, because obviously you guys know that this was never the case, never would be, outside of doing something that we would all three categorize as inappropriate, would there have been anything that I could have done unintentionally to make you uncomfortable? Like, what if I just was a talker and I just want to talk all the time? Outside of you're like, let me get my work done, please be quiet. Would it be uncomfortable if I was just constantly trying to talk to you?
No. I don't think so at all. Unless it got emotional.
Right.
Like in any sense, family, personal, like if you got emotional and was like really asking about, and it was like you said earlier, like all the time.
Yeah.
Like a one day thing, like no big deal. I'll help you get through it. But if it was constant, then it would be like, one, I don't want to hear about your personal right. life that much. And then right. two, like, I really don't have that much to offer you. I don't know what you're trying to get from me. So,
I mean, I keep thinking, and I think that if I didn't have this scenario in my life, it would be more difficult for me. But I have this male coworker. I love him dearly. And he comes in my classroom and he'll just sit there. And we just hang out. Sometimes we don't talk. Sometimes I'm working. Sometimes he has his phone. He'll go into another person's room. We go into other teachers' rooms and we just randomly float around our hallway based on, and we all kind of like congregate. But there are times where he will come in and plop down. I don't even talk to him. I'm doing something else. And I'm like, that's not weird. But I feel like that's a scenario that people would say is possibly inappropriate, that he's coming into my classroom when I'm there by myself.
Yeah.
I mean, he has three sisters, like this poor guy. And I mean, he's engaged to this adorable girl. And I by no means think anything other than the fact that he's bored and he doesn't want to sit in his small cubicle because he doesn't have a classroom like everybody else.
Yeah.
And he's just used to being around too many women.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying about that about him, this about him, but you have to think about how you think compared to how some other people might be thinking.
Well, and the way he thinks. We both are clearly thinking nothing.
Well, I mean, like sometimes they might not, like you might think it's nothing, no big deal, but like there's a reason, even if he doesn't know what it is, like there's a reason he's always coming to your room. Because you're funny, you like your company.
Because we're friends, but that would be the same thing as when he goes into Haley's room or when I go into Haley's room or when I go into Jody's room.
Yeah.
There's not a special reason why I go into Jody's room.
Yeah.
Jody's just there and I want to sit and talk to Jody.
But that's your personality though.
But that's all of us. I mean, that's all of us on the hallway, but we're also very much so more, I feel like, progressive people. We have that mindset where none of us are like.
But you have to put, it on the table of consideration though, that male or female, they may be coming to your classroom because they like you. I mean, that's just the reality.
Because I'm fun.
Yeah.
Or they have romantic impulses and not necessarily something to act on, but.
Well, and in that scenario, it sounds like.
And there's
like
nothing you can do about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Right. That's when it gets weird and I would know.
But that's not where necessarily. The rules of protection.
Oh, I don't think so.
I would know.
All right. So enough time has gone
there's
by
a way
to where.
That a twinkle in your eye when you look at somebody and you have something for them. We don't look at each other like that.
Yeah. Well, this was, and you know, this is something Priscilla and I mean, this is literally 15 years ago, I think, but I experienced developing feelings for someone and, you know, it was devastating. I mean, I felt horrible. And if I had to bet money, I would say no way in hell she knew, because there was no way I was going to do anything, say anything.
She knew. Yes, Joey.
Because she's a woman or because she's a human? I'm really curious. Like, women pick up on that?
Maybe. I don't know.
But I was.
I don't want to just say.
I don't know either.
And I'm saying I was in this scenario, which is the only time it's happened to me, 100% appropriate.
Here's the thing.
No flirting. I mean, seriously. Like there was.
Some people are just more intuitive. I think it's not necessarily a male female thing because we always use that as a cop out sometimes. And I don't. I mean, there are so many males that are just as sensitive as women. And there's. I mean, we just have to get over that. That's like archaic. So I think there's some people that are just super intuitive and they would know that. Even if you didn't realize you knew it, I would know. I think that dude has feelings for me. Alex, my wife, she says it all the time. She's like, that dude liked me. And I'm like, no, he didn't. And she's like, he did. And then I find out like, oh, they did like her at some point or whatever. And I'm like, she's like, he was checking me out. And I'm like, no, he wasn't. And she'll be like, he asked this. And I'm like, oh, maybe he was checking her out.
So the Billy Graham rule is protecting the people that are not intuitive. Right?
That's their category. Yeah. Are you intuitive or not? Not are you male or female?
Or even like thinking the best in people. Like I had a situation where my child and a kid in his class are good friends. And the dad asked me, oh, we should exchange numbers so we can get the kids together. I thought nothing of it. I think it still is harmless, nothing. But I tell Michael and he's like, oh, he was just trying to hang out with you. Like, that's the only reason why he wanted your number. He wanted to hang out with you.
Yeah.
And so then he asked some of his other guy friends.
Say the same thing.
And the guy friend said yes. And I was like, I really didn't feel that in any way possible.
Yeah.
But, and he asked me that in a group of people, but still, I'm like, no, I think he just wanted the boys to get together. And he's like, no, he wanted to get together with you. And I had no clue.
But I also think that's just them being like territorial, because Alex has literally said that to me before. She's like, he liked you. And somebody that was at the Barbaritos like checkout thing. And I was like, babe, he knows we're gay. Like, I think he's also maybe in our community, and that's why he was talking to us a lot. And she was like, no, he liked you. And I was like, he did not like me. And I'm like, you're just pissing all around me right now. So it's like, that's Michael just being, he knows he has a hot wife, and he's like, some motherfucking dude just gave my wife his number. I mean, of course he's going to think that.
Well, he didn't, but you know what I was going to do?
If
he
asked for it. Michael probably also knows where this dude lives now.
No, I told him, I said, oh, if he like actually got down to asking me for it, I was going to give him yours.
Yeah.
And so here's my husband's number, call him.
Right.
But that's so sad too. That's so sad. Just because he has a penis, he can't just do that. I mean, like, take away all of the things that could happen, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's so sad. Like, George, like, I think about George. He has girlfriends and guy friends. Like, that would make me so sad. Like, they don't care when they're little. Like, when they're little, George had a friend, I mean, growing up, he called her the Byrarian's daughter, and they were buddies. Like, they hung out all the time. And then he hung out with this other girl, and he was like the only boy at this birthday party for this little girl. It's like, when do we teach them that it's like, you're a boy, so if you ask for this number, you know, that's you hitting on them.
So I get that, but and I also recognize, so when I talk evolution, I totally believe in God, Jesus, and all that. So it's not a God contradictory statement. And I also believe that as humans, we take responsibility. We can't just say, oh, I didn't mean to, or anything like that. But, and I know everybody's not wired up this way. That's why when you said some people are attracted to a lot of people, I was like, wow, that makes sense. We're also sexual people. Like, just because we're married, it does not mean that we're not attracted to other people. And
that's
I think that's a huge part of this, because we're, as humans, we're sexual people, and you don't know where that other person's coming from. I mean, I think it's safe to say that you could perhaps make a mistake out of the blue that you never even expected and destroy your life. That's why I'm so caught in the middle, because
I don't think so. You're also talking to the most loyal people. Like, we're Enneagram, like, what is it?
Six? Nine.
Oh, you're the nine?
I'm a nine. Six.
Yeah, we're the peacemakers here.
Yeah. I'm the loyal one. Like, I will not, like, try me.
We go to six and stress.
Some other person that doesn't have that, that's their own damn fault. They can't figure it out. They don't need a Billy Graham rule to help them. They're fucked up. They're already going around looking at everybody, and that's their problem. In my eyes, like, you already have a problem. If you're doing that and you're wanting to act on it, and it's something that you think of daily, when I say everybody's had those thoughts, I mean, like, from time to time in their lifetime. I'm not saying every day. If you are having those thoughts about different people every day, you have a problem.
Well, what if that person says, I have a problem, so I need the Billy Graham rule? Would you be like, I respect that?
Totally.
Yeah.
You need the Billy Graham rule. Yeah, I think, absolutely. I don't think there's anything wrong with having boundaries. I think that it's great if you have self-awareness and you're like, or even if you're just uncomfortable. It doesn't even have to be like a sexual attraction. We don't have to sexualize everything. It could just be, I happen to not feel as comfortable around men as I do women, so I prefer not to do that.
If there was no rules at Seacoast, would you guys feel comfortable carpooling?
Me and Liz?
With me. Like, if you were working at Seacoast, would y'all, and that's because of friendship? Because you seem to lean a little more towards like a universal Billy Graham rule. That's because you and I are friends, and I know Michael well.
I mean, yes, and I know your wife well. I know Priscilla well. We're friends. We've hung out as couples. Right. Like, I know you.
Right.
And if something right.
and
started
if something
going
was to happen, it wasn't going to be because you guys carpooled.
No, but
that's
now
I don't know about that. I don't. There's a big difference in me, Liz, and Sarah sitting here in this room. And again, this is the last time I'm going to say this because I think we're all a little uncomfortable. Nothing's ever going to happen here. But it's a totally different vibe, though. Even though Sarah and I do not have feelings for each other, want to be with our spouses, it is a different vibe if it's just me and Sarah in this room. And I'm not even talking anything other than it's a totally different vibe.
No, how many times have you come to my house without Priscilla to pick up kids or drop them off and come in my house, I think nothing of it. I think of you as a friend, as a brother.
But I'm coming to pick up my kids and I'm seeing one of my closest friends. So obviously I want to talk to you, but I didn't come over to have a visit. You and I spent, what, 3 or 4 hours at your place in condo because Priscilla was out of town and my kids had lice you and Priscilla are the lice experts. Yeah. Wouldn't it have been weird though if instead of calling and saying, Liz, I really need your help, I don't know what to do with lice, if I said, hey, Liz, me and the kids are going to come by, let's just hang out for a few hours. You'd be like, even though we're friends,
I get what you're saying.
Yes, I would think it was weird if you...
Sarah's like, yes.
Hey, do you want to go grab coffee today?
Right.
Like, why? You want to do a podcast? Or like, what's the purpose?
Right.
Like, I would think that's weird.
Right. So
she's saying it like really confidently, yes. So you don't ask her. Oh, don't do that.
But even you, you'd have to admit.
I get what you're saying. Yes, I get what you're saying.
Like if I call you tomorrow and say, hey, Priscilla's busy, you want to hang out?
But
I've never done that.
But we don't do that. But if you said, hey, I would like to talk to you about podcasting, or I would like to talk to you about, and give me a subject.
Exactly.
That would make sense. But we don't do that. We don't just go hang out. Like if I said, Sarah, do you want to go? I can't think of anything. We've hung out and just done stuff together, like going out. Like if you were to be like, let's go shopping downtown. Okay. I'd be like, yeah.
But here's, I don't
think anything of it.
Here's the thing. And I was thinking about this earlier.
Because we've done that before, but we, you and me, Joey, have not done stuff like that before.
Would you ask Joey to go shopping downtown though?
No, he doesn't want to go
shopping. Because every hangout, and especially one-on-one, that's I'm thinking only one-on-one, there's a purpose behind it, right? So if you, I'm like, I miss Liz. I'm going to say, let's go shopping. Or, hey, Liz, I'm coming over to your house because I just want to get our friendship closer. That's the purpose, like just to hang out with you. If a guy's purpose was just to hang out with me, or even a female that I don't know well, like unless she's like, I really want to get to know you better, that's the purpose. But if a guy and even a friend that says, hey, let's just hang out, like why? There's got to be a reason behind it, a purpose of the podcast. Or even if it's like, oh, my purpose is to talk about my wife, like that's weird. My purpose is to get to know you better. That's
right. Well, if you look at social settings, usually you see the girls hang out with the girls and the guys hang out with the guys. Yeah. So I see where you're saying that. But then this is where I feel bad. I have students where there's a girl and that scenario where it might seem a little bit odd is totally normal to them. And there is absolutely no, like this, like I have several girls and all they do is hang out with the guys.
But their purpose is to get to know them.
The more we talk, the more I realize it's just a sucky situation.
There's probably like in the LGBT community.
Yeah. So their purpose is to feel connected, to want to get to know them, not necessarily.
But they want to hang out with the dudes. They don't want to hang out with, the girls. They hang out with the dudes.
So Sarah calls you and says, hey, just in the course of conversation, I have a new neighbor. She just called. She's going to come over. We're going to get to know each other because she made that suggestion. I thought, hell yeah, I should get to know my next door neighbor. Be like, oh, cool. That's all right. Well, I'll let you go. She says the same thing, but it's a guy. Would you feel any differently about that at all, given you know that she's heterosexual? So she's wired up.
You have a neighbor and it's a female and you say, let's go hang out.
Now, I gave you two different scenarios. Right. The first one is her woman neighbor who's going to come over and hang out. You'd be like, okay, cool. See you later.
Yeah.
What if she said, yeah, there's this guy that moved in next door. Michael's at work. We're just going to hang out, get to know him.
Michael's going to kill him. Sarah would never do that.
but would you think that'd be okay?
It's not about if it would be okay. It's if that would feel normal or natural. That would not feel normal or natural.
That's a good point, Sarah, Liz. That's a good distinction.
Yeah.
Normal.
I would be like, he's probably gay. And then I would totally think nothing of it. If like it was a gay dude, I would be like, we're just, you know, whatever, going over there to hang out. But if it was a straight dude, I don't think that that is something that you would do.
Here's another thing. So when we were moving into our neighborhood, this other couple was moving into their house and the guy messaged me on Facebook asking if I could watch over his house because they were cutting down trees.
Oh, we've done that with several neighbors and I don't think anything of it. It's dudes.
But I'm like, why would he not ask Michael or have the, I think it's just a girlfriend, but the girlfriend asked me.
But why do you have to? And that's interesting because I've had the dude across the street, he's messaged me about several things like with the cat or whatever. And I don't think, why is he not having his wife talk to me ever?
Well, I said, my husband and I will look after your trees gladly. We had the same thing happen to us.
But
this
why
whole
do you feel so threatened?
But then he never wrote back.
Mm.
Well, so for him that, I mean, like you can't say that for sure he didn't have a motive. You know what I mean? Like he very well yeah, who knows? Could have.
Has he had the same interaction with you than he had with Michael? Like, is he on the same, or have you two talked more?
As neighbors now?
Yeah.
This is before they moved in.
I'm saying before you moved in, mm-hmm. had he had more communication with you?
That was the only one. Those two messages were the only messages the whole time.
Yeah, he very well may have just been like, she's hot. I don't like.
But also, there's only like four people that moved into the neighborhood at that point. He may have only found me on Facebook.
You also might have scared him. Like, my husband and I will come.
Yep. And that was the point.
But I do have several dude neighbors, and they're awesome. They're really chill. And I have messaged them. I mean, even just to get like the power washing, like networking, I don't think, you know, because everybody in the neighborhood on like the HOA, like who does what? And then you like message people. And I don't think anything of it. I don't think, why is your wife not messaging me?
Yeah, that is an extreme.
Also, maybe their wives feel safer with them messaging because I'm married to a woman. I don't know.
Oh. All right, I'm gonna throw this scenario at you. And so this is not the status of Priscilla.
I'm a wild card.
Yeah. This is not the status of Priscilla and I, but let's just say we're going through such a hard time. Maybe we're physically separated. We're just like, we gotta figure something out. We gotta live different places or not on speaking terms. And it's just not a good situation. And I come to one of y'all and say, listen.
I'd say no. You don't even have to finish this sentence. I'd be like, I am her best friend. You cannot talk to me about this.
No. Stop. So basically, see, I'm gonna catch you on this one. They're at Seacoast, they're like, we got to expand the podcast. So we want to get you some admin help. Like, we just want you to do more. We want you to spend less time with organizing and scheduling and all that stuff. And so we go through a pool of candidates and I'm like, Sarah, like by far, not even close, the perfect person for this job is incredibly attractive. And I really like her personality. And I don't want that in my head right now. Would you be willing to take that opportunity from this professional woman who just wants a daggum job?
Yeah, that's not fair.
It's not fair to her. But if there's a possibility that it could mess with my mind a little, because so this is not a matter of Joey being irresponsible and reckless. This is Joey in an emotional, volatile state.
You're trying to safeguard yourself. But in the process, you're making it to where a woman, just because of the fact that she's attracted, can't work there. So I feel like
I'm not saying she's attractive. I'm saying I'm attracted to her personality. I like her vibe. She makes me feel good about myself, whatever the case is.
Right.
You would be like, well, I'm sorry, Joey. She's the best candidate. You can't take it. So just buckle up.
I would say buckle up.
Dang.
And then I would say
Priscilla's best friend. How could you do that to her?
Because I would say, if you're going to have a problem, thanks for being honest. I think that you should hold yourself accountable and make sure somebody's with you all the time, and maybe have a communication with Priscilla where you can even show her your phone, or you can like whatever she needs to feel comfortable. I mean, I don't think that you have to necessarily do that, but I feel like if Michael was to say, hey, like she's an attractive person, like whatever, if you would like to look at my phone, you know, that might make you feel better. Like, I also think that you should just trust that.
But what if I'm saying, like, I don't know if it's funny because I'm like, you're wrong and I've got to try to convince you right now, but you're making great points. What if I'm saying, listen, Liz, this is messing with me. Like, I want
Priscilla,
my marriage to be okay. Like, I want to work on things with Priscilla. The last thing I need is to be around a person all the time that I'm attracted to.
Yes.
Like that's not a Joey's bad and he needs self-control.
Right.
It's Joey's serious about his marriage and he doesn't want any distractions.
Yeah.
And so let's say there's a guy or a 60-year-old woman applying for it, and they're, you know, where this attractive girl is a 10, they're like a 7. You'd say go with the 10. Sorry.
Yeah, it's just not fair.
Nope. I say go with the seven. That you're protecting yourself, protecting your wife, and not putting her in a position where she has to check your phone all the time. And it, the little things like hiring her, we'll be fine. It's not going to do it. The little things will add up. Especially if you already know.
How do you know that intuitive. That girl even likes you, Joey? She might not even like you.
I think that's a great point. I'm not saying I'm not going to hire her because I think I'm going to have an affair. I'm saying I don't want to hire her because I don't want to mess with my mind. Like, I'm not talking about affair. I'm not talking about me communicating feelings. I'm not talking about any of that. It's just I'm in a bad place with my marriage. I don't want to be around someone that I feel attracted to. I'm not worried about an affair right here. I'm not saying that it couldn't happen, but that's not what I'm necessarily talking about. It's like a mental thing.
It's like
I guess,
a one-sided more. Thing.
Yeah.
I still don't think it's very fair, but I would understand if you felt like you had to go with somebody else, but it would piss me off if it was a dude. If it was another female, then maybe.
It would piss you off if what?
If it was another dude.
If you hired another
like
guy.
Like if you didn't hire, gotcha. If you can't just not hire females.
That's true.
And at some point.
So I just find an ugly female that I don't like her personality. Yeah.
Really ugly female. Be like, you're just the ticket.
Right, who I need.
And I don't think y'all are ugly, but we're just friends. So don't feel bad that I hired you guys.
No, Joey at the beginning of this, Sarah was the one. For sure.
I still think that's really, really unfortunate for that person, though, because if they really, really, really needed that job or wanted that job, or that was like the job that could make their career, it's really unfortunate that you can't figure something out to safeguard yourself that doesn't involve you not hiring her.
All right. So let me flip the script. Priscilla is doing Seacoast podcast. Seacoast is expanding the podcast department. She is going through a pool of candidates, and by far the number one is a very nice looking guy that Priscilla writ like personalities just like I and we're having marital problems.
Yeah.
You'd say the same thing to Priscilla. That's not fair to that
I'd
guy.
I'd say you need to watch yourself. You very well may could develop feelings for this person, or I see how you look at them. You need to figure out what you want. Do you want to end your marriage, or do you want to engage in that? Like, you have a choice.
So this is a fairness issue to you, because if you literally take a case by case sort of situation, I'm saying this is the case which seems to make the most sense to be like, I got to do everything I can to just make sure this isn't, you know, something that messes up. You're saying it's a fairness issue to the other person? Should be reasonable, I guess. I mean,
yeah, to the person.
I just wish
hiring.
You cared more about me and Priscilla's marriage than you did about this stranger, fictitious person.
How they feel. My goodness.
I mean, this person doesn't even have a name, Liz.
I mean, I think if you're in that position, though, and if your marriage is suffering that much, then what are...
Which is very normal.
I know.
Very normal.
I know. But what are the chances that that scenario, specific scenario, is going to happen?
I bet
what
it happens all the time. I mean, the number of people in the workforce and the number of...
Okay, so let's take that. If it's a lot of people, if that happens all the time, we would have a bunch of ugly people walking around these like office buildings and all these dudes.
No, but that's not the point. We just established you two are attractive females. There's no problem here with me and you guys. I'm saying this is a specific person that for some reason she just is messing with my mind. I'm like, I mean, I've talked to other guys. This is a real thing. It's like I'm around her and I start thinking stuff and I don't like it.
I mean,
it,
maybe you can't hire her, but that. Yeah, so maybe you
would
can't
you have
hire
less respect
her?
For me, and that's okay. I would think,
yeah, that sucks.
You'd well, in like, that hey, case,
Joe's I'd be like, Joey, get it together.
Yeah. Well, in that scenario, you would be working very closely together too,
right?
So it's not like hiring someone who's going to be working in an office.
Also, maybe if you are in a bad place in your marriage, you could safeguard yourself ahead of time and just say, "Will you please bring me candidates that you feel like are, I don't know, have somebody else safeguard it before it even gets to you."
If they're pretty, I don't want to see them.
I don't mean it like that. Just have them go through maybe like the list of people and find the best people. And if they found the best people without you making the choice is what I'm saying. Like, have somebody else bring you those candidates and say, like, these are the people that we want. You have to pick one.
That's not a bad idea.
So then it's not you making that choice. I'm not saying have somebody else decide it.
Well, and in that scenario, if there was one person so much more qualified than any of the others, and that's the person that you would be attracted to.
Right.
No, it's not fair. He needs to be like, sorry.
That's the case if you hire the more attractive person. Oh, wait, maybe I didn't understand what you said.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, it's fair. Wait, I'm like, the more attractive person is the number one choice, whether Joey picks them or somebody else picks them.
They should get the job.
If that's the person that he's thinking, oh, I'm attracted to her. And whether you're having marriage problems or not, honestly, whether you're attracted to that person,
I mean, you have a feel problem, against, though. If you're in leadership someone, and every time somebody comes and applies, are you going to just say no to everybody just because you're having marital problems?
No, we're talking a very specific situation. I mean, I'm not even talking necessarily just an attractive person. I'm saying I am attracted to them.
Yeah.
So it's like has feelings.
I think that's just when you would have to have like an open communication thing with like Priscilla. Say, I have feelings for this person. They are the best person for the job. I would like to bring somebody in and maybe they do some of the job that you would have worked hand in hand with that person and try and separate yourself so they can still have the job. They can still perform the tasks that they're really good at and what they, you know, intended to do. And you maybe do some of the other stuff that does not make you have to interact with them as often.
Can I ask her to just dress like a Muslim?
Yeah, sure.
But isn't it like getting in the car with the person and then you say, well, if you know you have feelings for them, don't get in the car. It's the same thing. Like working with someone, you know you have feelings for them, don't work with them.
I think the big difference, though, is getting a job is like a huge professional step in the right direction for that person.
Yeah, but if everything turns out the way it's supposed to, you're not supposed to be working with that person anyway. You know, if every person like that attractive female would not get the job with you, if she's that good, she's going to get one somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, but that's not fair. That's and, not but, fair to hope that she'll get a job with somebody else. Well, with no, a dude not, that can handle himself.
See, no, I'm not saying that.
This is where I go back to, we can't dismiss the fact that we're wired up sexually and that this is something that we all need to pay attention to. I wonder if that woman would want the job if she knew that this guy was like, wow, I really like it. She may would be like, sure as hell, I don't want to work there then.
That's true.
I mean, but that's why true. Are you so obsessed with this person if you've met them like one time?
No, we had to interview him like three times, Liz.
Yeah, you interviewed him three times and you're madly in love with them.
I didn't
already.
Say madly in love.
Right. But like,
you're looking forward to the next time to hang out because you find them attractive physically, emotionally. They're fun to be.
I made well, then sure
maybe
I
you don't
nice
need to
outfit.
Be married. Maybe you don't need to be
I
married.
I want to be married. Priscilla.
Well, you can't be married if you're going to want to like have feelings for everybody that walks by you.
Why can't you get it in your head? I'm not talking everybody. I'm talking to one
well,
person
that one
needs
person,
to be hired.
That one person, it doesn't matter if it's just her, if it's a million. Like, if you are having this issue, then maybe you should not be married. Have we not, like...
So you're saying that if you're attracted to other people...
Yeah, if Alex has people that she has to like hire or working with her and she keeps having issues where she's attracted to them, I'd be like, bitch, I don't want to be with you if you're constantly like wanting to be with these other people. I don't want to be with you. We don't need to be married.
But that's the thing is I don't want to be with her. That's why I don't want to hire her.
You want your cake and you want to eat it too. That's what it sounds like.
No, I don't want a relationship with her.
Right. You just want to like lust
even
after
hire.
Her.
He doesn't want her around.
You just want to lust after her.
No, because then if that was true, he would hire her and be like, but I can't.
And then maybe
myself.
You shouldn't be married.
How would you feel? And maybe this is a way that you guys talk already. How would you feel if Michael says this pretty much to anybody? I'd do the Billy Graham rule because I don't want to end up doing something with another female. Does that make you uncomfortable to hear him say something like that if he said it that way?
No, not at
all.
That
would make me uncomfortable. I'd be like, why do you need that?
Oh, see, really? I don't hear that as him needing it. I hear it as respecting and protecting me, him, and our marriage. And like not even putting a toe in the water or anything. Like we're just stopping it from the get-go. And that way I know for a fact, even though I trust him, even if he were to ride in the car with somebody, whatever. But I know for a fact he's not doing it out of respect for me. And that makes me feel that much more secure.
But that's what I'm saying. He's doing it because he respects you. But yeah. What if he's doing it because he's like, I got to stay away from these women.
I feel like that's
he's
respectful to me.
He's respecting you by not being around females. But like that also like flip it. It's not that you think that he's going to do something, but it's that he's doing it out of respect to you. So then does that mean you are assuming every time he's in the car with a female, he's going to possibly want to be with them?
No.
Right. So then it's null and void.
Like, not at all. I don't ever think that.
Am I making any sense? It doesn't make sense then. If he's doing it because he is afraid, let's say that he would be inclined to cheat. Okay. That's one thing. You would want him to have that rule because he's inclined to cheat and he's been honest about that. Mm-hmm. But you're saying that's not the case. Mm-hmm. It's because it's out of respect for you. Well, then what is it that you're worried about that you feel like
when you say you're talking to Sarah?
Sarah, like, what is it that the Sarah character is needing respect of? Like, why do you need respect?
Okay. Would you feel uncomfortable if Michael carpooled with an attractive woman every single day to go to the job? Even if you guys are open in communication every single day, 30 minutes to work. And I know his work is different.
There are no hot girls that work with Michael Eller.
Yeah. To answer your question, no, I would not be concerned about it at all because I know him and I know it would be fine. So I would not. Although the whole time I would want to know, like, what's she asking you?
What's your conversation?
Yeah, what's the communication like? And, like, as long as the...
Which, obviously, he's not going to say, well, we kind of talk about inappropriate things. We know he's not going to say that. But if you're asking him, oh, well, what do you guys talk about? And if he acts a little bit weird, then it's like, all right, there's something going on. And then you move forward from there. You're like, okay, you're not acting right, Michael. Like, why are you afraid to tell me what you guys talk about? Or why do you stutter when, you know, I mention her name or whatever?
I think I disagree with both of y'all, because even though I think Priscilla is probably the least of candidates that would ever cheat, because people never intend... Would it destroy me if Priscilla drove with a guy? No. Would I prefer for her not to? Yes, because Priscilla is a human being. And even though my trust
Yours.
But hold on. Even though my trust is very warranted because we made a commitment to each other and we love each other and we want to be with each other, it can happen. She could develop feelings when she didn't want to.
Right. And then at that point, it's like, those are choices she's making. Clearly, she does not want to be married. Like, that is what I'm trying to say. But
she does. She wants to be married.
And she wants to ride with these other people in the car and possibly be attracted to them. That's not wanting to be married. Wanting to be married is wanting to be committed to one person.
Or if you're just trying to save money by carpooling.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, if she... Even if she wants to be married, if she develops feelings, then
she needs to do something then about it.
Yeah, that makes sense. You need to just like...
That makes sense.
At that point, that's when you need to do something instead
of
worrying.
So the trust is that Priscilla... The trust is not that Priscilla would never have feelings. The trust is that if she did, she would do something about it. I can trust that.
Yes. Okay, whether that it's makes sense. Telling you, hey, I love you. I want to be married to you, but I have feelings for this person. And I don't know what to do. And then you go to counseling and she either chooses him or she chooses you. But at that point, that's what you have to decide. Like, you can't have these feelings for people or like interact with these people sexually and then also think that it's okay to like still be married and that none of that's going to be suspicious. I mean, I think we're just forgetting about the fact that you can just not be married. Like, you need to make a choice. If Michael's in the car with a female and he finds out that he's really attracted to her, he needs to make a choice. It needs to be the right choice.
Absolutely.
Is there a difference in just the general Billy Graham rule and then a business trip Billy Graham rule? Like, what if I had...
Alex works as a lawyer. All of them... Like, there's so many dudes. And she hangs out... I mean, like, they don't sleep in the same hotel room, so I don't know. Like, that could be a different conversation. But actually, I don't know if she might sleep in her own hotel room. I don't even know. But, like, they're all... I mean, yeah. Like, she's constantly introducing me to... Majority of them are male.
Well, I'm talking just the two of them are flying together, going to a hotel together. Like, do you think that's opening the door a little too wide?
Only if I'm concerned. If I'm not concerned, go for it. If I feel insecure, which it's okay. If you're insecure and you feel that way, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You say, hey, I do not feel comfortable with you being around that person. I don't like the way that they are around you. I'm fine that you work with them, but I don't feel comfortable with you going on a trip. It's based on the other spouse at that point.
See, for me, it's not insecure. Maybe it is. Maybe it's insecurity
okay
I'm blind to.
Insecure.
Maybe it's insecurity I'm blind to. But there is no guy on this earth that if I could choose for Priscilla to go on a business trip, fly together, go to a hotel together, I can think of many guys that I would trust. I can't think of any guys that I'd be like, oh, I don't care. That's too much of a intimate.
But you have to think of the nature of her, whatever job it is.
I know, but I do think that there is something to intimacy, and I don't mean sexual. I just mean like a lot of alone time. And then when you add to that layers of basically you are, you know, not spending the night in the same room, but I mean, it's almost like you're on a trip together. I mean, I think that is just playing with fire.
Okay. But I also think it's like you're assuming that everybody is going to be attracted to somebody just because they're spending time with them. I mean, if that's the case, then we're all walking around like that.
It's maybe not assuming that they're going to be. It's just being aware that it could happen.
It's like we're so hypersensitive. I could be attracted to you. You cannot be around me by yourself. Like, I just think it's too much. Like, I think you need to be completely open and honest with your spouse, and what you feel comfortable with needs to be honored, and what they feel comfortable with needs to be honored. And you need to be able to make choices based on whatever it is. Like, I have to go on this trip. Okay. How do you feel about that? Okay. And then move on. I don't think we need all these big umbrella rules and we need to do this, because we can have all the rules in the world and nobody follows them. Nobody follows them. Billy Graham rule, don't be in a car by yourself with somebody. You could cheat on them. People cheat on each other all the time. Having that rule did not help or not.
But maybe it helped the people that don't want to cheat.
I think it helped some. Same with, I heard this somewhere and I don't know where, but like same with the law. Like, you know, I've taken it to a whole different level. But like, you have these laws in place, yet people are going to break them no matter what. But the laws stop the people who might not break them. But if the law was not there, that one person who wanted to break it would break it. But since the law was there, they didn't. And
but
same thing with Billy
Graham. The law is usually something bad, like don't kill people. Okay, well, me going on a work trip with Joey is not killing people. So that law is not anything damaging or life-threatening. That law of us going on a business trip together is nothing like the law that you would have that would say you shouldn't shoot people, even though some people will shoot people. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Like law, like those are bad things. Like work trip with a person of the gender that you're attracted to is not necessarily a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I just think people suck. Like you need to, like, if you don't want to be married, then don't be married. Like, I feel like everybody is trying to make everything perfect, and it's just life is messy and stuff happens. And I think you just need to talk about it as it happens. And I mean, sometimes people get remarried. Joshua's sister, they got divorced, realized they didn't want to be divorced. They got remarried. Like my parents' generation, it's like marriage and you're there until like you die. And I think that's everybody's goal. But I also don't think that that's necessarily going to happen for everybody. Like for my mom and dad, worked great. For my Nana and Poppy, it worked great. For some people, it's just not.
I think people get married because they want to be together forever, obviously. And things happen one thing or another. And yeah, people can choose not to be married. But I think what the Billy Graham rule protects is the situations that you do not intend and that even you fight against.
I think it protects people that can't figure it out for themselves. Something that they should be able to figure out themselves. I see its intentions. It's got great intentions. But you shouldn't need that.
Oh, not saying you need it. It's just,
I don't think it's necessarily someone, you just need to get control of yourself. You know, I think there could be some people just like, nah, I actually struggle in this area.
Yeah, those people need that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I think of it more for the people who really don't know if they need it. That unintentionally, one decision to ride in the car, we had a conversation. Oh, okay. Like, I actually like hanging out with that person. No feelings whatsoever. But then even the couples hang out, and then the wife's looking at the husband of the other couple and it's like, oh, well, he's doing this. My husband doesn't do this. And, you know, it's starting this thing where if you never took the car ride together, you wouldn't have had that conversation. That's extreme. It probably would have, because the conversation may have happened anyway. But I don't know. I think, why not protect it in any way that you can? I mean, I trust Michael 100%. I know he trusts me 100%. But if I text Joey, I will text Joey and Priscilla.
Yeah.
And say, hey, happy birthday, whatever it is. Or
I don't do that.
Michael would be on that message too. Oh, yeah. I always text a spouse and not in this, just so the spouse knows.
Oh, the only time I add one of the other ones, Joey or Priscilla, is because the other one's not listening to me. Like, I can't get a hold of Priscilla, so I add Joey on it, or Joey's not listening.
But I don't think that's a Billy Graham rule. But behind that is more of like openness, put everything out there. Michael knows every man that I'm talking to, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I just think that's so sad. It's so sad that we have to like create these protections. Like, why?
But I'm not hearing necessarily protection as much as I'm hearing just complete 100% openness, just out of closeness.
No, openness
almost
is great. I'm not.
Yeah, I kind of merged the two, and I didn't mean to do that.
But. Yeah, no, I'm not talking about the openness. I think that's great. I think it's. I'm just saying, like, when we say, "I need to," we're doing this to protect us from something that could happen. It's like, I feel like that's just like the whole, like the church thing. Oh, we're going to try to do this to protect this from happening when it's already happening or it's going to happen regardless. Like, we're just always trying to like, hide things that are already happening. Like, it needs to just be talked about or be ended. Like, does that make sense? It's like, we're always trying to like control things. I feel like we try to control things too much. And we need to just like let things be.
Well, just so you know, I'm going to be talking to Priscilla about establishing the Billy Graham rule with you. Just for precaution.
After this conversation, it is necessary.
Just for precaution. Well, what would you do if I'm being serious?
I'll know if there's a twinkle in her eye.
It goes both ways. I got to be careful.
She's looking at you, buddy. She's looking at me, buddy.
I think it's funny though, because when I was like with Joshua, that was all I knew. It made so much sense. It was like, oh, that's something that protects you and all the things that you're saying. And now I'm just like, it's all bullshit to me. Like, I don't know why, but it all just seems like bullshit, because I think of all of the scenarios where so many bad things have happened or so many people have been hurt. I mean, think about there's so many people that we know, like from small groups and stuff like that. That shit happened anyways.
Yeah, but you don't, the thing is you don't know how many people avoided it by practicing it because it didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know how effective it is because of all the things that it could have possibly worked.
Right, and I think if you know that about yourself, like, you're not going to, like, oh, I know that about myself. I probably shouldn't hang out with that spouse of that person or whatever, but it still happens.
Yeah. What's so crazy about this is I'm still at a place where everything both of y'all said made complete
sense. Oh, everything you said makes complete sense to me.
And I'm like, I don't know.
It's because we're in this like tweener zone where we understand this, but we also have been taught this and we understand it. Like, I get everything that you said too.
Well, and you know, we are the nines. So we naturally, and I think you're included in that being the six of the Enneagram, we are naturally, we can't help it but to see every point of view.
Right.
Like, it's just in our makeup that we can see, put ourselves in that point of view. And believe it when we're there.
Yeah.
You know?
If somebody needs something, I'm all about it. I'm not saying it's lame to need it.